This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What is the verdict on attending gatherings or meetings or office parties where there is alcohol?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
The consumption of alcohol is something that we all know is completely forbidden in our religion. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has called it the mother of all evil or the source of all evil. And it is a tool of shaitan. We all know that in this country, one of the leading causes of liver cancer, heart disease, even other types of cancer, in fact, almost 100,000 deaths in North America alone is because directly of alcohol. And it is one of the leading causes of preventable death in this country, by the way. One of the leading causes of preventable death is the consumption of alcohol. Its harms are well known. And it is because of this that the Sharia has not just forbidden drinking alcohol, the Sharia has also forbidden anything related to it, such as transporting, buying, selling, witnessing the transaction. These are all called preventative measures. Sadd al-dhari'ah. When something is haram, Allah Azza wa Jal makes the things leading to it haram as well. Obviously, the level of hurma, of the things leading to it, is not the same as the level of itself. You understand this point? And that's what we're going to come to now. When something is haram, the avenues that lead to it also become haram, but those avenues are not as sinful as the haram itself, obviously. And this is called in the Sharia, سَدُّ الذَّرَائِعِ, cutting off the doors to this avenue. And one of those prohibitions when it comes to alcohol is to sit at a table where alcohol is served. Hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. It is Hasan, which is acceptable. It's not sahih, it's not da'if. It is a Hasan hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day should not sit at a table where alcohol is passed around. Yudaru alayha al-khamr. Okay, so one should not sit at a table where alcohol is being passed around. This is a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. And this is the default position, that a person should avoid sitting at a table where alcohol is served. And one should try to get out of this as much as possible. Now, this is the default. The problem is that this default becomes very difficult, or at times logistically impossible, in the world that we live in. And I have asked over a dozen mentors and teachers of mine and peers of mine this particular issue. These are one of the questions that are on my mind, and I ask many people. And I'll just mention some names here, but the opinion I will give you, ascribe it to me. But I'm telling you just because, understandably, I never claim to be a scholar, I'm a student of knowledge. I am not a scholar, I'm a student of knowledge. So, understandably, people say, who are you to say things? And that's a valid concern. But I try to quote positions that have basis and that have precedence. I never, ever try to bring an opinion that is unprecedented. I don't feel myself qualified to do that. But I try to find precedence. And when it comes to this issue, I have asked over a dozen people whom I look up to, including people like Sheikh Salah Al-Sawi, Dr. Hatim Al-Hajj, Sheikh Yusuf Al-Judi', Sheikh Al-Qardawi, others. I have asked all of these, this specific question, specifically I've asked them about this hadith in light of modern times and in light of corporate America. And by the way, FYI, I have worked in corporate America for a period of my life. And for 15 years, I was in academia, which is a different type of corporate America. I had to meet many people, politicians, business interviews, presidents of universities, presenting papers at Harvard and Princeton. I've been in that environment. So I understand what it is like to be the only Muslim in a room full of people that are coming together for another cause. They're not coming together to get drunk. You're not going to a pub to socialize. You're going for a conference. You're going for a job issue. You're going because your boss's boss or the company's president has thrown a big party and you're a member of that audience. And once again, with my utmost respect, many of our scholars and teachers have never been in that situation. And so they give fatawa that they are there and hardly anybody can follow them because those fatawa cannot be applied by the average person working in a corporate environment. And that's why the one who knows, knows. The one who is there understands. And that's why I myself have been very eager to ask many of my mentors and teachers, pretty much all of them who live in these lands or at least are well aware of the situation of our lands. Because again, what you need to realize, when you ask a person or a sheikh that has never been in these lands, their tasawwur is very different of reality. They can give a fatwa and they don't understand that fatwa is impossible to apply. Always go to people who live in your lands for your scholarship, especially for these minutiae issues. And as I said, I've asked over a dozen. To be brutally honest, I think it might be 24, because I've been talking about this for, these are some of the issues I always discuss with my peers and my mentors. And every single one of them, without exception, has given caveats and exceptions to this hadith. None of them unconditionally said it is always haram and you have to stand up and leave every time there's alcohol within 5 feet of you. None of them have said this, because they understand that you cannot be that strict. This hadith is not meant to be used as an elastic band and applied to every scenario. The hadith is a general ruling. Let's keep that as the default. Let's not become comfortable. But they're always going to be difficult scenarios. And by the way, this isn't without precedence. Again, there are minor precedents. Of them is the issue of the Muslim man married to the Christian lady. And we find a number of explicit narrations, even from the very strict ulama, like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Somebody came to him and said that a man is married to a Christian lady. Can he force her to not drink alcohol? Now remember, it's her right as a Christian. And it may be even some, in her sharia, it's allowed. And maybe even in her rituals is what she does. If she's a Catholic, she's even going to drink it, right? And Imam Ahmad said, he does not have the right to forbid her from drinking her alcohol. He doesn't have that right. So this is someone like Imam Ahmad, and the context is in a Muslim land. And it's in the person's household. Now, by the way, think about the technicalities. Whose money is she typically going to use to go buy the alcohol? Think about the technicalities. Where will that alcohol be stored? In whose house? Think about these technicalities, right? Before you make these blanket statements of haram, 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 think things through. And that's why fiqh is very different than just quoting hadith and then extrapolating. My dear brothers and sisters, extremism typically occurs with people who don't understand fiqh. They just take a verse or a hadith and they become fuqaha overnight. Actual fuqaha are always much more understanding, much more reasonable. As I said, more than a dozen scholars, I asked personally this question. More than a dozen. Every one of them. They gave slightly different, but every one of them is giving caveats. If this, if that. So, the position I'm going to present is coming from me. Don't ascribe it to them. But I will tell you, all of them have given caveats and exceptions to this hadith. So, based on this, I form an educated ijtihad. If I am right, it is from Allah. If it is wrong, then it is from myself, and I ask Allah's refuge. What I say is as follows. This is my advice. The Muslim working in corporate America should never make it the norm to feel comfortable around alcohol. This Muslim should make it known to his or her close colleagues that they don't like alcohol and the presence of alcohol. It should be something that is known, that they feel uncomfortable around the presence of alcohol. It should not just become overlooked, not a green light. Anytime there's alcohol, let it be. Occasionally, such a Muslim might find himself or herself in a situation where it's just the battle is not worth fighting. For example, the annual meeting. For example, the CEO comes in and the whole staff is there. For example, the ceremony that's going to take place around this time when the raises are given and announcements are made right before Christmas. And your presence and your point is a part of being with the community of your corporation. You need to be there because that's what everybody is doing. So on those exceptional scenarios, try your best to avoid being in the direct vicinity. So if the alcohol table is there, you go on another side and you intermingle with the people over there. And if you are forced to sit down, try your best to get a few people that you know will not be drinking and sit One of my teachers actually said this. I'm not going to mention it, but I respect it immensely. One of my teachers actually said, if there's a large table, get 3, 4, 5 people, sit next to them, and in your mind, draw an imaginary line. This is my table. There's no alcohol on it. Point is, you have to work your way. What are you going to do if there's 50 people at a corporate meeting, and you're all sitting at a table, and they're drinking alcohol over there? What are you going to do? I mean, if you really thought it's necessary to stand up and leave, that's your business. And I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm saying, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. How unreasonable is it for you to stand up and leave because somebody else is drinking, your boss's boss is drinking alcohol? You will not be able to function in corporate America this way. You cannot function in a regular, you're going to a job interview, for example, right? That stage, you're going to tell other people, hey, you can't drink, by the way, huh? You're going to get that job or not? Is Allah requiring you to be that unreasonable? I don't think so. Wallahi, I do not think so at all. And this is the position that many of my teachers have as well. You're going to a job interview. You're going to the annual corporate event or whatnot. Now is not the time to enforce Sharia on other people. They're drinking, it's their business. You obviously are not going to drink. You will say, I don't drink, okay? You order your Alka-Seltzer water or whatever you want to do, you know? It's like, well, you do whatever you want, but you do not obviously drink yourself. And if they're drinking that one-off, fine. Then when you get in and your colleagues, and you should then say, you know what? You guys are going there. If it's just a regular chilling event, just a evening out, you should not compromise on that type of thing. Why? You know, you guys go ahead and enjoy. And you don't have to say even alcohol. You say, you guys go ahead, I'm a bit tired. Make an excuse of, I'd make a few phone calls, whatever. But if your presence is important, not darura, life and death, because this is not a matter of life and death. It's a matter of reasonable. Your job is at line here. Your presence is required for the promotions. Your ambiance is there. You being there is going to show the company that you're a part and parcel of the company. In these types of scenarios, be reasonable and participate what needs to be done. And then, as you all know, as the evening winds down, the party revelers stay, and then people who want to leave can leave, right? You be of those who leave as fast as you reasonably can. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. And even as you are there, in your heart, do not like it. Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever can change munkar with his hands, good. If not, then with his tongue. If not, then what? Don't like it in your heart. Hate it in your heart. I'm being very explicit. Don't make it the norm that I'm surrounded by alcohol. No. It should never be the norm. Don't make it lackadaisical, no big deal. It is a big deal. And you should not just be observing people getting drunk. But once in a while, you cannot enforce 100%. When you need to, be as minimal as you need, be as discreet as you need to be, do what you need to do, and then make your excuse, and then be away from there. And then ask Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness, but I do not think it is a sin when, as we said, when you're pressured into this type of scenario, that you're in the presence where alcohol is. Nonetheless, if it is not something that is required, and it is simply a pure socialization, a pure merriment, in this case, no need for you to compromise. And you can give an excuse. And I give you a classic example. You're going to a meeting or a conference somewhere else. Then your office is going to go out for a dinner. And you know there's going to be sharab and laughter and merriment. And there's no need for the business has been done. Right? The meeting has been done. Now, we're not talking about a business meeting with a client where you have to be, again, be sensible. You all know the difference. When your office colleagues are just going to chill because the company tab is paying for it, right? No need for you when you know there's going to be alcohol. You're not going to lose your job if you don't show up to that thing. No big deal. And give an excuse if you want. You don't have to say, because I'm a Muslim, I'm not going to. If you want to, it's case by case. If you don't have that authority, make an excuse. I'm feeling tired. I have to make a few phone calls. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Simple as that. And then be away from there. But if you do need to go, for reasons that you know best, for your job's sake, in my humble opinion, it is not haram, and the hadith will not apply to you. Final point, one of my teachers made a very good point. One of my mentors, he said a very good point. He said, one needs to look at the context of this hadith. What is the context of this hadith? A group of Muslims sitting and drinking alcohol for the point of getting drunk. Yudaru alayhi al-khamr. Means khamr is being passed around. Why would you be in such a gathering of Muslims? What excuse is there? One of my teachers said, this hadith needs to be understood as silent approval of other Muslims getting drunk. You shouldn't be there. You cannot just copy and paste and apply it to a corporate setting where your non-Muslim colleagues are drinking a cup or two with their meals. They're not even getting drunk because they're not supposed to technically, as you know. You know, they're not even doing that. It's just what they're doing on the side. So Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. The fatwa that I have given, based on years of research and asking many of my colleagues and mentors, avoid it as much as possible. Don't make this the norm. Your colleagues should know that you feel uncomfortable around alcohol. But when push comes to shove and you're in a situation where you kind of sort of, for the greater good of your job and career, you have to be in there, do the bare minimum, do what needs to do, try your best to take reasonable precautions, try your best that alcohol is not immediately around you if you're able to do that. And if you're not, for example, a job interview with the boss that's going to hire you, it's you and that boss, and you're on one table, what are you going to do? You go to the job interview, tell your boss, your future boss, I'm sorry, you cannot drink. Let's be real here, you're not going to get that job. And we fully understand why. Because you're not somebody the company can work with. If you're going to enforce your policy on other people, that's not going to work, right? So the wise person uses the right time and place. And in my humble opinion, that's not the right time and place in the job interview to demand that your boss doesn't drink or whatnot. And so if that is the case and that is happening, ask Allah's forgiveness. Try your best to be as minimal as possible. Do what needs to be done. And then remove yourself from that. And inshaAllah ta'ala, there will not be a sin on you if you hate it in your heart. And with that, inshaAllah ta'ala, we conclude for today.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال